Our first reading is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. The birth of Moses. Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. And the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. This is chapter 13, beginning at verse 20. "Very truly, I tell you, whoever receives one whom I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me." After saying this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and declared, "Very truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he was speaking. One of his disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Peter therefore motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So, while reclining next to Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." So when he had dipped the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. After he received the piece of bread, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, "Do quickly what you are going to do." Now no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the common purse, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the festival," or that he should give something to the poor. So, after receiving the piece of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Right, it's Mothering Sunday today, fourth Sunday in Lent. when mothers have a very special place in our hearts and in our thoughts. I heard a couple of stories the other day about a 102-year-old mother who was asked if she had any worries. And she replied, "No, not now. I've got my youngest son into an old people's home." And the other one I read was a 10-year-old who once said, "When your mum is mad at your dad, don't let her brush your hair." Well, I want to look at three mothers' things today concerning motherhood and Mothering Sunday. First of all, Mary, the mother of Jesus. Secondly, Mother Church. And thirdly, God incarnate and our own mother involved in that. Well, first of all, Mary, the mother of Jesus. Of course, Jesus was the Son of God. He was God incarnate. And Mary was the mother of Jesus. So let's look at the early chapters of Luke's Gospel in chapters 1 and 2. Because Mary, as a young woman, was pledged to be married to a man called Joseph. It's a story we know really well, isn't it? Probably he was a lot older than her, and he was pledged to be married to her, which was a far more serious thing than what we know as engagement. Nearly married, but not quite. She was still a virgin. And she was visited, we know the story, by the angel Gabriel, who said to her, "Greetings, you are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." And in verse 29 of Luke 1, it says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. I can imagine she was greatly troubled by what the angel said to her. She must have been more than troubled at just the sight of him. And then later on, and when he tells her all that's going to happen to her, that she's going to conceive and she's going to have a child, and she says, "Well, how can that be? I'm still a virgin and I'm not married yet." And the angel said, "Well, you know, this is what's going to happen." And she ended up by saying, "May it be to me as you have said." And then they were married, of course, and we know the rest of the story, that when she was heavily pregnant with Jesus, they had to go to Bethlehem for the census, 60 miles south of Nazareth, where they were, on a donkey, heavily pregnant, no room when they got there because it was so busy, ended up in the barn, and ended up giving birth to Jesus in that barn. And he would be laid in the feeding trough. That was the birth of Jesus. And of course, at that same time, there was the shepherds in the field. And the angels appeared to them, and it says they were terrified. Once more, I bet they were terrified at that particular time. And the angels were told the shepherds, who were very low in things in society. They weren't very well thought of. It was a very mundane job, but the angels came to them and they told them what was going to happen. They said, "This baby's being born, and it's in a baby. It's in the barn in Bethlehem." And off they went in order to see this Jesus. They said, "Well, we better go and see what's happening." And so they went down, terrified, to meet Jesus and that baby and Mary and Joseph. And they told Mary what had happened, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart, it says, all that was said to her. And next, when Jesus was weaned, he was taken to the temple in Jerusalem. He was nearly about a year old by this time, and it was a special service where every firstborn baby boy was presented in the temple with a gift. And when they got there, they were met by a man called Simeon. And Simeon was a prophet in a way, and he lived in the temple. Well, he didn't live in the temple, but he was there, seems to be, most of the time. And it says, then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, and this is interesting, "This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your soul to your own soul too," is what he said to Mary. And I think Mary continued, as when these things were said, to store up in her heart what was being said. "A sword will pierce your own soul too." And I don't think she ever forgot that. And through the 33 years before Jesus was crucified, she must have stored up many things in her heart, wondering what was going to happen. And then when she stood by the cross, when Jesus was hanging there crucified, I think she would have remembered all that had been said about her son down the years, from the first visit of Gabriel to Simeon's words, "A sword will visit your own soul too." And you know, we too with Mary need to remember all that happened to Jesus. He lived a life just like ours, highs and lows, contrasts and choices, darkness and light, suffering and healing, lies and truth, evil and good, sorrow and joy, extreme violence and pain. And so we remember today Mary, the mother of Jesus, who lived with that all through her life to the time when she stood and watched him die there on the cross. And I'll come back a little, if I've time, to that at the end. So that's the first mother, Mary, the mother of Jesus. And then we have the Mother Church. And of course, Mothering Sunday dates back to the 16th century. You probably all know this because you probably get it every year. But it goes back to the 16th century. There were very few holidays in those days. Children as young as 10 years old worked away from home, and in mid-Lent they were given a day off on a Sunday to visit mothers and the family. Girls in service would bake a cake and show the mothers their new skills, a simnel cake. You all know that is, do you? Do you, Chris? Oh, that's very good. I didn't know what it was at all. I still don't know, but it sounds a nice name. A simnel cake. And that's what the girls would bake on that particular day. And the girls would walk across the country home, gathered violets and other wildflowers to give to their mothers and also to take to church. And so today became Mothering Sunday, giving thanks for the care of the Mother Church, to reflect the loving nature of God, to express thanks to our mothers and to celebrate motherhood. Now, I was fortunate, and I thank God for my mother and my father, and on Mothering Sunday I can look back to my childhood days and remember many happy times. Holidays, not many. I didn't see the sea until I was about 7 or 8, and we went to Bridlington. We always went to Bridlington. And it's a nice place, is Bridlington, but when you see it every year for a long time, it gets a bit much. And all the other things we used to do, which was great. My dad played cricket for the police and team, and being a policeman, and he used to take me with him, and I used to go with my bat and my ball, and he used to play with me before the game started, and then in the intervals, and then at the end of the game, he'd play with me a bit. It was great, and I remember those. They were precious memories. And then we used to go walks together as a family in an evening, because there were no television in those days. And we used to go in the middle of the summer, we'd walk as a family, mum and dad and myself and my sister, and we'd go a walk in the evenings. And those things remain in your mind, don't they? They're very, very happy times. And I can also remember the happy days at church, the Mother Church. Let me tell you about how I became to be part of the local church in Rotherham. I've probably said this before, but I was 4 years old when I started going to church. And you know, I've got here and I brought them with me this morning. They're things that I was given at the Sunday school at Talbot Lane Methodist Church Sunday School, which is where I went. And every week we used to go, we were given a sticker. And there we are. I've got loads of sheep in that flock. And it says on the back, when it was given to me. And the first one was given to me on the 15th of the 11th, 1942. You all got your calculators out now, haven't you? And that was the first one, the sheep and the things. And then there was another one, and they were palm leaves. I won't go through them all. You're all right. I won't be here all day. And then I've got lots of squirrels. Never seen so many squirrels in my life, but every Sunday we used to get a sticker and stick it on that, and I've still got these from that one's 1944. And look at all the birds there, loads of birds. And we used to get those, as I say, every week. So Mother Church was something that I was part of from the age of four. And I got those attendance cards. And then I joined the Anglicans when I was eight because they had the Cubs. And I went to the Cubs and I was there until I was about 10 or whatever. And then we moved from Rotherham to Brighouse near Huddersfield, where ducks fly back as to keep muck out of their eyes, same as Leeds. And then we later moved to Harrogate because we were only in Brighouse a year, and I was a member of the Methodist Church in Brighouse because the youth club was there. And I say we moved then to Harrogate, and I joined the Anglican Church there, Bilton Parish Church. I can't remember why I joined, but I did join. I joined the choir, and it was a large choir. It was 22 boys, and it was 18 men. We sang two anthems. Robert's listening to this. We sang two anthems, morning and evening, and I joined, as I say, and I got paid. Every quarter, I got paid one and a penny. And absolutely true, I was paid one and a penny, but I eventually got to be head boy, and I was got a pay increase, and I was given every 3 months 5 shillings. And so it was a big day, and so this was my journey through my mother church. So I was being taught about the Christian faith all the way through this, and in Bilton especially. And then my voice broke, went to the men's choir, and I left when I was 22 years old to go into training for ordination, because something had happened in that time, and it was in my mother church that I was taught in the Bible class by Miss Dawson. And I was taught in the Sunday school by Mr. Spence and Miss Mountcastle, who Miss Mountcastle also taught me at school. She was my school teacher. However, something happened because when I was 17, I went to hear Billy Graham. And Billy Graham he'd just done a big crusade down in Haringey in London. And throughout this country, Billy Graham films were being shown in all the big halls and towns around the city, and I went to the lounge hall in Harrogate to watch this Billy Graham film. It was an April evening. I was stood at the back of the hall, the lounge hall, with the head boy from school who I knew, who became a missionary with CMS actually. And at the end of that film, I gave my heart to Christ. Now, it wasn't that I didn't believe in God. I believed in God from when I was being nurtured through this mother church. I knew why Christ had died, that he died for me. And I believed it all here, but it came to that point on that particular evening at the lounge hall in Harrogate where I made that decision to ask Christ into my life. It changed my life. I always try and say, there was no flash of lightning and clap of thunder. I didn't get a halo overnight. But my life changed, and it began to change direction. And eventually, I say, I offered for ordination in my 20s and went to theological college and so on. And that mother church was so important because it told me about Jesus. And that was one of the things that changed the whole direction of my life. I thank God for the church nurturing me in my faith. I thank God for my brothers and sisters in Christ in that church. And my father and my mother, mothers in Christ, so to speak. And I was a member of the mother church, the ecclesia, the body of people, beginning to realize the church wasn't the building, but the people. And it was on that time that things, as I say, began to take a new direction for me. But everybody's experience is different. And it's so important that we realize that. And finally, our own mothers. I thank God for my mother and father. My mother cared for me unconditionally through good times and bad. And when I was little, I needed to be kept safe. And when I was growing up, in my adolescence, I needed the guidance that only parents can give. When I was in a pain in the neck, they put up with me. And when I began to notice that girls were different, they danced backwards. And, you know, I noticed these things. I was very astute. And when I was willful and tempered and disobedient and had spots. You know, those are the times those difficult teenage years. My mum loved me and disciplined me. And then when I was adult and in my 20s and 30s, they continued to love me when things went wrong and when I made mistakes. And that's what mum and dads do. And they stand by us through thick and thin, and at its best, that's what, as I say, mums and dads do. Now, Mother Church is also called the body of Christ, which is very interesting because the picture of the body is a picture of different parts of the body, the hands, the heart, the ears, the eyes, all different but interrelated and interdependent. That's a picture of the church because in Christ we're all different but we're all interdependent. We depend on one another. We're interrelated. We're a body. We're an ecclesia, the body of people. We are supported and guided and encouraged. You know, I remember I've listed four people here straight away as I was thinking about that, being supported and guided and encouraged as a member of the church. I remember Hilda Bartle, an elderly Spinster lady who wrote to me continually after when I was in the ministry. And Gladys Wilson, too, had that's what she had. And her letters were amazing to look at. She wrote to me so often, and often her letters had come at just the right time. Neville Knox, who was the town clerk of Harrogate, and he was my spiritual father. He led me to Christ in so many ways, and well, he nurtured me in the faith. He guided me and advised me. I traveled the country with him. He was a big speaker at Youth for Christ rallies, and he'd take me with him, and I used to sing. Used to do a lot of singing in those days. And I went with him and I watched him and I learned from him. And when I was vicar of Putsey in Bradford, in Leeds, and I thought, I haven't had Neville to speak here. And he came to speak, and he was in his 80s to preach, this spiritual father that I liked. And I listened to him. And as I'm listening to him, I'm thinking, he's using all my illustrations. And then I realized I'd been using his for years. Because that was what he did. He nurtured me in the faith, did Neville. Now, when Mary stood at the foot of the cross as Jesus was crucified, I wonder if she remembered those words of Simeon in the temple. A sword will pierce your own soul too. Her pain as she watched Jesus flogged, abused, a crown of thorns put on his head, nailed to the cross, taunted by the soldiers, taunted by the religious leaders, deserted by his disciples. She must have experienced that dark night of the soul. And throughout his ministry, Mary experienced darkness and light, suffering and healing. Lies and truth, evil and good, sorrow and joy, violence and pain. And she saw Jesus verbally abused, and later his followers experienced what he had experienced too. On a Mothering Sunday, we can empathize with Mary. A sword will pierce through your own soul too. And we too need to remember what Jesus said to his followers. They persecuted me and they'll persecute you too. And many, many in this world today, Christians all over, are experiencing just that. So it's Mothering Sunday, and as members of the Mother Church, let's remember our own mothers who together with us will experience or have experienced our joy and our pain and our journey and our mistakes. And let's thank God for our mothers, our adoptive mothers, the mothers that figure in our own lives, and praise God for them. Amen.